this episode of the Deming Institute podcast, TJ Gokin of Equate is our guest. TJ will discuss the Deming philosophy and software development.
Hi, I'm Trip Babbitt, host of the Deming Institute podcast. Our guest today is TJ Gokin from Equate. Welcome, TJ.
Thank you for having me.
Very good. So tell us a little bit, TJ, about you. I know you're in Australia because we're having to do this at a different time of the day. So tell me about you, TJ, and then also a little bit about Equate and what you do.
We're in Australia. We're located in Sydney, and we're called Equate. What we do is we help companies become agile, lean, customer and quality centric through data analysis and software development. And you might ask, hey, it's all good, but what does it really mean? Well, it means that we write software. We write custom software. And while we are writing custom software, we go beyond just your conventional software development methods, as in we ask a lot of why questions to the companies, and we learn about the purpose or the aim of the software, as well as the company and its products and services. We find this really, really important for software development because, to give you an example, if you tell me to clean a table, and this is an example straight out of Dr. Deming, if you tell me to clean a table, if I do not know what the purpose of that table is, what it's going to be used for, I cannot do a good job. And this makes a difference. If the table is going to be used for cutting wood or cutting metal versus preparing food, the definition of preparation or cleaning of this table changes, right? So this is very important for us when we're making software. What are we making the software for? What is it going to be used for? How is it going to affect anything else? What's the purpose of it? So with that knowledge, we say, hey, software is not a department anymore. We used to call it IT department way back, a few years ago, but it's not like that anymore. It is integrated in everything an organization does, from emails to the tools we use, to in manufacturing or services, to the Internet of Things. It is everywhere right now in an organization, the technology. There is no escape from it, really. So that is great, but I think one trap we fall into, we as people fall into, is we tend to focus on tools and not the knowledge itself. And when I say knowledge, it requires understanding of processes, variation, your organization as a system, which is very important, and of course, psychology. So at Equate, our mission is to mesh software and Deming world together. So if you have a business problem, we just approach it with that in mind.
Okay, very good.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I think so. What industries are you primarily working with, or is it really any industry?
It is really any industry. The clients that we have range from media companies to healthcare to manufacturing and production to different services, financial services.
So, TJ, when did you first come across the work of W. Edwards Deming?
Okay, that's an interesting story. How did I come across and when did I come across? It's been about 10 years or so. But to go even beyond, before that, I went to college. I went to university with a swimming scholarship in the United States. So I did this sport at a very high level. Since I was young and through swimming, I always implemented a PDSA cycle in the work that I do, and a systems thinking, holistic approach to everything. Whatever I do, I would always plan, and this is through swimming, athletics, or homework, everything that I do. I would always plan, do something, implement it as a test, and then study its effects and decide if it should become a standard in my work or not, a standard element in my life, really, not just work and the coaching and all that. Of course, at the time, I didn't know this was called PDSA because I didn't know Dr. Deming. And then when we founded our company, my wife, Amber, had told me about Dr. Deming because she had quality management courses in her university as part of her major, which introduced her to something called Kaizen. You cannot learn about Kaizen without learning about Dr. Deming, really. Mm-hmm. So she told me about this, and she said, hey, look, there are these Americans that went to Japan after Second World War. You should look into it because the way you think naturally seems to be a good fit. I'm like, so I decided to take her word and look into this. And, you know, taking her word is a good idea because she's my wife and she's always right, right?
That's the way it works.
That's the way it works. And guess what? She was right again. So that's how I came across Dr. Deming through Amber. And once I did, oh my God, I was fascinated by him. I mean, here was a guy that put everything that I had been trying to do in my life in everything in a perspective. And he went beyond that too. He put it in a method, a framework, a system. I read about him. I kept reading and through different books and through our journey, we went out. Sometimes you go off tangent, you read about other books too, but whatever you read, you always realize, or at least I always realize that, hey, you come back to Dr. Deming because whatever other books you read and you try to learn, it's always there. His framework, system of profound knowledge, just really encapsulates everything that people are talking about. And through that, he went beyond PDSA. All of a sudden, really, everything made sense. So with that, my thirst for Deming has started, and we started our Deming journey and never looked back. And I'm forever grateful to Amber for that. And then the next step for me was to mesh two passions that I have, which is Deming and software.
Very good. And that's a good segue into our next portion of our discussion, which is software development. And it seems to be, I don't know, the methodologies around Scrum and Agile. Can we talk about that a little bit and kind of what they are, and especially for people in the audience may not be familiar with software development, what they do, and then a little bit about, we'll move into looking at software development through a Deming lens. But let's start first with what Scrum and Agile are for people not familiar with the software development world.
Sure. And actually, on top of Agile and Scrum, I'll throw a couple words too, like waterfall and Kanban, because they're all related. So if you don't mind me going a bit further back,
okay,
and give a bit of a, you know, 2-minute history,
okay,
on this. So I want to go back to when NBC aired If Japan Can, Why Can't We? That documentary that really introduced Dr. Deming to the United States. And I'm going to say introduce, but it's actually a bit interesting because all of the principles that the world is using and crediting Japanese right now, like the, you know, various production systems and whatnot, have actually been implemented in Japan by Americans. They have been introduced by United States, mm-hmm, to Japan. It's just that somehow along the way, United States has forgotten about them. And now they're kind of like, oh my God, we're discovering these new things. No, you always had this knowledge. You just forgot, unfortunately. So when NBC aired this documentary, it kind of reintroduced Deming or reminded Deming to the U.S. And software at the time, and I mean by software, the consumer software that we use today, was in its infancy. It was just finding its thing. It's still a very new industry. It's still trying to find its path, its footing. But at that time, it was even worse than now. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know, since then, software, as we just talked, software has become more and more dominant in our lives. And especially the internet changed a lot of the things, the way we do things in this. But going back to that, software development back then was done in something called waterfall. So to explain waterfall, what would happen is the company would think that, okay, we need a software because we have a business problem and we need a software. So they would actually then, the managers, go and decide what the software should do, what the screens should look like, what each button's functionality, color, and all that. They will go to the extreme specifics. And you will then get a specification document, maybe hundreds of pages long, depending on the size of the project. But this also brought a lot of problems with it. Because with that waterfall, with that specifications, we all know as soon as you see something on the screen and you start to interact with it, first of all, you immediately see through visualization. On paper, nothing is visualized, but on screen, everything is. So through visualization, first of all, you may realize some of the processes you thought that would work do not work anymore the way you intended them to or the way you thought they would. That doesn't work anymore. So that needs to change. Also, you see that, hey, I have new ideas. When I see this, I realize we can do this in a better way or we can do this in a different way. So that meant that the software then had to go back and reworked by the developers. But reworking is costly, especially when you have a specific, you know, specific specs documents. So that is called waterfall, and that was really costly and ineffective way of developing software. And at that time, I'm going to give a pause, because if only they took the time to understand Dr. Deming and to know Dr. Deming, they would have prevented this initial end-all, be-all document approach to software development. Because even in his book, Out of Crisis, he gives a great example of a programmer having the need to understand what she or he is developing. And I believe this is the roots of the agile development, what we call agile development. So after this waterfall, they went through this inefficiency and very expensive period of software development. Then came something called agile development. Software development. And agile, in short, is really a way to develop software in a way that is respondent to change. So it's a set of methods and practices that is more catered for change. So you do not have a big document, specifications document, at front. What you do is instead you just go and develop whatever the first value you need to do. So for example, we first develop the login screens and the login system and the security. That's what we focus on. After that, we move on to, let's say, purchasing system. So we just focus on that. And if there are any changes, but there are no documents or anything, no specs at the time. So you just do the little bit, little steps that you need to deliver the next value, and then you move on. And the world realized that this is a much better way to develop software, because it actually takes care of that, hey, I changed my mind approach by the managers or by the customers. And then we have a couple methodologies in Agile. Agile is like an umbrella of methods and practices. Then on that agile practices, we have a couple methods called, we have many, but the two major ones are called Scrum and Kanban. Scrum is basically, again, a methodology that practices agile software development, and it has iterations in it. So basically, you just develop your software in 1 or 2 week iterations. Generally, you can have this as big or small as you want, but small is better, because if you have a smaller iteration, so in 1 week, you cannot go the wrong path too much, versus if you do this every 3 months. In 3 months, I can, as a developer, I can go a very wrong path that you don't want me to go as the project manager. So Scrum does this agile practices in an iterative way in usually 1 or 2 weeks periods, and they just implement this change in a continuous way. And they have other systems in place in Scrum, which I'm not going to go into, as this is not a Scrum talk. Right. And then there is the Kanban methodology, which comes from actually Toyota itself, implemented into software, which is used for visualizing the workload and the flow. And this is actually the system that we use, the methodology that we use. And it mainly concentrates on the something called minimum viable product, which is what is the minimum product that I can produce that has a value to the customer. And after that, we just work on features. So the biggest difference between Scrum and Kanban is Kanban does this in an iterative way, the software development, whereas in Kanban, we focus on features and we just, it doesn't matter how long a feature takes, we just try to finish that feature. It could be a week or a month.
Okay. And you've kind of woven into your conversation a little bit about kind of a Deming view on this. But as you step back and you look at software development, give me an idea of maybe what's missing from these methodologies if you were to look at them through a Deming lens, or if you think they're reflective of Dr. Deming's philosophy, why you think so?
There is no doubt that these methodologies have their roots in Dr. Deming's philosophies, with especially the iterative work that agile means, you know, responding to change, basically. And that is PDSA right there. However, I do not think where they fall short is they're not as comprehensive. And that's one of the things that I see that they're missing in software development. And lately, in software industry, there has been a little bit of a push to implement agile practices throughout the organization. And that's what I've been basically telling to people, that it is going to fail because of these shortcomings that I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
But these methodologies, or agile, let's say agile, because they're all under the umbrella of agile anyway. Agile, first of all, does not have appreciation for a system in the sense that we understand in the Deming world. They do pursue a business value. So they say, hey, we should be asking, or the developer should be asking, how does this affect the whole company, or how does this give us the value that we need? But they do not address most of the diseases. So in agile teams that we have seen, especially if they're working on different products, not the same product, it just becomes a competition between teams. Who delivers the most story points. Story points is something that they do to measure their weekly progress, what they deliver. So who delivers the most features? Who delivers the most story points? Who, oh my God, I hope nobody's doing this anymore. But at one point, it used to be who does the most line of codes. So you can see, but agile practices does nothing to address this. It does nothing for this kind of ranking. It does nothing for the performance reviews. And I think that's where they really, really fall short on this, because they do not look at on the whole, basically, and the value. And once you do not have this, then, you know, all of these diseases that Dr. Deming talks about, it is still there. It doesn't matter what system or a methodology you use. And if you look at the world, for example, we see that even though we seem to get better at software, I mean, our software 10 years ago, 15 years ago, used to crash a lot more, right? We actually are using better software right now. They crash less. They do more things in a more capable way. But still, all of the research shows that customer engagement in brands or in the softwares they use or in the products that they use is on the decline. Okay. And there is a reason for it, I believe. And I believe the reason is because nobody is following the Deming philosophy. Just being agile does not mean you are doing the right thing. I mean, there is a saying, I think it's from Drucker, that the worst thing you can do is building the wrong thing very efficiently. I believe this fits into that very, very well. Because of this, for example, to me personally, when I first learned, you know, came across Agile, it never struck me as world-changing. Well, it was world-changing for the software industry. I knew that. But in my world, in TJ's world, it was like, yeah, okay, let's move on. Because I knew that I was looking at a subset of what I was doing or trying to do anyway, which is the Deming SOPK.
So what might be different in your world when you look at software than what everybody else is doing?
Well, first of all, as I said, we try to understand what the software is used for. And then we ask a lot of why questions. And then we go and try to see how this affects to the whole organization. So, for example, in our own teams that we have when we're building software, we do not have any bonuses. We do not have performance ratings. And we try to advocate that. We do advocate that in the companies that we work for. So we give a bit of education in that sense, but also through questioning the processes that the company does, we actually eliminate a lot of the bureaucracy. And we have proven this time and time again in software projects that we do by just asking the right questions. The projects or the product owners, it's called in the agile world, see that, okay, what we're doing is actually is very inefficient, and we can actually eliminate a lot of the steps that we need to get there. And this has nothing to do with software. We're just asking why you're doing this. Why is this happening? What do you expect to get out of the software? And which brings me to a pretty important point, actually, because what we do is we believe developers should always ask challenging questions, you know, so stuff like, what is the value of this? How does this affect the whole company? And most importantly, has it been done in the organization before? And I say most importantly, because we see this time and time again, that many organizational departments spending time and money on very similar projects, most of the time, it's extremely almost one-to-one match. So just think, if they applied Deming and if they combined what they were doing together, they talked to each other and they came across this project and they had a bigger budget, and then they will actually eliminate a lot of waste. Because in software development, the beginning of the software development, like the infrastructural development and some of the database systems and all these costs have to be applied to the project no matter what. So instead of paying for two different projects that are doing almost the same thing for that initial phase, they can just end up paying once and continue. But more importantly, they get more value out of it. So we try to infuse these questions and this mindset into these companies that we work for. One of the, for example, things that we hear from people when we talk about Deming and all that is that, hey, but Dr. Deming is manufacturing. This is software. This is very different. Well, we say that's not true. Dr. Deming has nothing to do with manufacturing. He is, in our mind, he is a culture. He's a mindset. He's about management. His examples are from manufacturing, because that was the dominant industry at the time. So, of course, that's what he's going to give his examples from. You cannot expect him to give examples from that's from something that didn't exist then, or was not that dominant, or was just crawling, really, not even walking, crawling and trying to become something. So, of course, his examples are from manufacturing. And nowadays, we also give the mindset or try to infuse this mindset that we seem to think software is the dominant industry now. If you ask anybody, they will say, yeah, software, technology, all these are software, dominant, sorry. But we forget that software and manufacturing and whatever other component services that you can put there too are all components of a system. And that's where Dr. Deming's appreciation for a system comes into play. To give you an example, without software, your smartphone is not so smart anymore, correct? Mm-hmm. It just cannot do anything other than making a phone call. And today's world, even to make a phone call, we need software, by the way. It's just controlled by software. However, the opposite is correct too. If you have the software, but the physical device is not manufactured, still that software alone does not mean anything on its own. It cannot even run. So you need that manufacturing process too, as well as you need people to deliver this, to package this. So you see all these logistics come into play too, the delivery and supply and delivery chains. So this is all part of a system. So we're not better than each other, or one is not better than the other. one might seem to get more traction through some, you know, buzzwords and all that. But the fact is, we are all parts of a system. That's what we try to preach to the companies. And that's what we, that's our, what our message is. We believe, you know, Scrum, Kanban, Agile, they are great methodologies, and they certainly have a place in software development as methodologies themselves. But applying a system of profound knowledge for software development with regards to the whole system gives you much more benefits than what you can get just from them alone. But when we say that, we also advocate that you have to learn what system of profound knowledge is, not copy. And we have this tendency today, I think, in the world too, with Toyota production system and all that. Everybody who wants to become lean or agile or however you can put any buzzword there, just tries to find some company who does this well and just tries to copy it. What they forget is that system works for that company because of different or, you know, variety of reasons. First of all, that company's culture, that company's makeup, the people that they have, it all contributes to this. So by copying, unless you're that company, you're not going to succeed. And we see them fail, actually. So what we say is you have to learn, you have to gain that knowledge so you can implement and come up with your own system, come up with your own way, so to speak. Don't copy these. Learn them. Learn the underlying principles. Get the knowledge. Create your own way. And we believe that is the only way that can work for you, because it is customized for you and because it's done by everybody in the company. So everybody owns up to it.
Makes perfect sense.
That's what we believe.
Very good. And I think, you know, just from your passion for Dr. Deming's work, I can tell that you see this as a competitive advantage, even against other software development companies that aren't utilizing system of profound knowledge and Dr. Deming's philosophy to its fullest.
We do. We do. We see this. When we work on projects, we actually become, all of our clients become our long-term clients. We actually do not have any client that we just do one project and they say, okay, we'll see you later, mm-hmm. which is a great source of pride for us. We like that. We become friends, really partners with our customers. They're not just people who pay us to do projects or to do anything. We are actually partners because their success is actually our success too. Or we feel like we're part of that team. And we want them to feel like, and we try to make them feel like they're part of a bigger team as we talk about systems. And that bigger team is the Deming community that they always help and they always can turn into. So we see that as a competitive advantage. And we see the more companies take this approach, I think it'll be better for the whole world.
Well, when this podcast is released, then your secret will be out. So
well, I hope so. The more people look, competition in that sense is good.
Yeah.
But it also means if everybody is doing this, it also means we can collaborate and we can learn from each other. And I don't see that as a bad thing.
I don't either. Well, I only have one last question for you, TJ, and that is there anything that I failed to ask, or is there any clarification of some of the things that you said that you'd like to take the opportunity to correct or add?
No, I think you ask all the questions, and we try to cover a very high level parts of software development. And all I can say is read Dr. Deming.
Absolutely. Well, those are excellent words of wisdom there, TJ. And we really appreciate you sharing your time to be on the Deming Institute podcast. Thank you again, TJ.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.